And also God has demonstrated his power through the victorious resurrection from the dead. Jesus conquered two things that man cannot do. He overcame the power of darkness and the power of sin. Amen? And because of that, that we are able to stand in our faith and proclaim the story and the testimony of his goodness in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you that you are the way maker. You're the miracle worker. We pray that you will speak into our hearts as you have been, that you will guide us, give us the humility to change. And we thank you. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Last week, we talked about we're aware of the changes that are happening around us. Many are coming back now. We are moving, transition back to our workplace, back from vacation. I was with my family in Fiji. I share a little bit of story of what happened in Fiji, and just to illustrate what we're trying to convey. And so for those of you who are in transition, who are maybe getting new job, the stress of life is real, amen? And last week we talked about Jesus inviting us, saying, come to me, all of you who are tired and carrying heavy burden, I will give you rest. He said, take upon yourself my yoke, because it's easy. Learn from me, and you will have rest to your soul. Amen? It's a wonderful thing for us to lie in bed at night and knowing that we are at peace with God and peace with everyone. But today I want to draw our attention quickly to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 to 25. What I'm going to do, I will begin from verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us what? It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This word of encouragement from verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, to the faith that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Amen. This is an encouraging passage for all of us. I remember this week, I was reading an article about a pastor from the United States. I remember I came across his book, and it's called Say Goodbye to Dating. And a very, very powerful book in the 90s that speaks about purity, speaks about being faithful, mostly to the single, and finding our purpose in Christ, and living a life that honors God. Lately, It's been a lot of prayer has gone out for this man, this pastor, that who has totally confessed in the media, social media, that he's no longer Christian, and he doesn't believe in God anymore, and he has turned from being this committed person to moving in another direction. Our faith, all of us, is important to us. Our faith is the driving force of our relationship with God and our belief in God. Adrian was here just earlier talking to us how his faith over the years has been under attack. But there is something that Paul is saying here, the author is saying here, said, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, the faith that we profess. Why? For he who promised is faithful. The writer of Hebrews is writing to a group of Christians who have abandoned their faith and started denying Christ, and many who have been living and withdrawing away from the fellowship. And all the teaching and all the faith that they have proclaimed, as now they have surrendered down and have decided to choose other ideas to follow. There's something powerful about these things, and this passage talks to us for a few things. Number one, it speaks about the reconciliation that God did for us through the death of Jesus on the cross. And then second, the encouragement to let us draw near to God and let us hold unswervingly the faith that we profess. And thirdly, he said, let us consider how we may spur one another on, not giving up meeting together, encouraging one another in hope, faith, and love. Those five things the author here is emphasizing. The reality of what Christ did for us. That God is the ultimate reconciler who reconciles us to himself. On the cross, that's what Paul says to the Corinthians. That on the cross, what was God doing in Christ? He was reconciling the world to himself. That he who knew no sin became sin for us, so we can be made righteous with him. And that is what he did. This act of reconciliation that cost the giving of his son to die for us. And then there is an encouragement for us. In order for us who believe in him to stay on, we need to get closer to God. Amen? He said, let us draw near. If I want to hold on to my faith, then my relationship with God, and no matter what situation or what season of life that I'm in, I have to hold on to it. And it's amazing what happens when we do that. We see and we experience the manifestation of what God can do to those who draw closer to him every day. Sometimes it is hard. The pressure of life, choices that we are going to make, the influence from the outside. And he's saying here, let us hold on to our faith unswervingly. This is not an encouragement or a good idea for us to do. There is a stern warning that is coming out of these words. Joel, hold on to your faith. Why? Because things are coming. Drawing near to God is one way that we holding on, that we can hold on to our faith. There are many other things. Our faith, yesterday I was, I'm sorry to say this. Okay. If you don't want to hear, you can close your ears. I was watching the All Blacks and Australia and New Zealand playing rugby yesterday. And it was this ball, whoever is in possession of the ball have every chance to win. The game is unrelenting. They will try to take down the one with the ball. They want to win possession of the ball. As long as you hold on to the ball, there are chances for you to win. Life is like that. That our faith is like that rugby ball. That we hold on. Do not let anybody, no matter how tough the battle is, you have to hold on to it. Unfortunately, my team lost because they lose possession of the ball. So don't lose possession of your ball. Hold on to it because there is a force, is another team that is coming in opposition of you that wants that. That's the end of a rugby story. Let us consider how to spur one another up. Encouragement. How do we encourage one another? I will tell you a story. Share a little bit about my trip to Fiji. Every time I go on vacation to my country, there's always something happening. And so I pay very close attention to what God wants to do. So I shared last week how I went and visited the guys in prison who comes from the neighborhood that I grew up in. And I was able to invite four of them that were released from prison, ask them to join me on a ride, and we spent 3 hours just talking together with this ex-convict. And they know me. They were little kids when I was growing up, and now they're humongous guys who have been incarcerated. I have a burden for my community. So one of my goals was I want to see these guys and look at them in the face and speak life to them. That the choices they are making is not only impact their lives, but the generation, their children, they will have, they feel the impact of their choices. Amen? And so that's where faith comes in. Because all these guys, they were raised from Christian families, but they have made the choice to move in another direction. So I prayed to God. I said, Lord, if I can just have maybe an hour or two with these guys. So that's what happened. At night, I went over to the community. I've already talked to them. And we bring in those four guys and one of the drug dealer there. And we went. We sat down and I looked at them in the face. And I said, you, I know their parents. I said, you are here because of the results as well. And the mistakes of your dad. I know their fathers. And I said, you have an opportunity today to break this so that you won't, your children will never bear the fruit of what you have sown. You know, so these are young people. So we're looking at each other, as tough guys. But these guys were incarcerated. And my heart goes out to them. They have lost faith. And this is what happened. The ramification when we don't hold swervingly, it will have influence. My faith is important to my children. My faith is important to my family. My faith is important to my wife and everybody that surrounds me. When I make decisions, it will have ramification on the people around me. Paul is saying, hold on firmly to your faith. Don't let it go. You need it. I don't know where you are. Now, I will share with you another experience in Fiji. Faith is obedience. It's obedience in doing what God requires us to do. And one of them is reconciliation.
God is a reconciler.
Yeah, we read here that he... So, let me just tell you this story. Every time I've been to Fiji, there are these two particular individuals that I've been wanting to meet. I want to sit down and talk to them heart to heart. So, it's close to 20 years. And every time we go, we are doing something, and I left. But this is what happened, you know. When something is important to the heart of God, that is also that he requires of us, he will make a way when we are willing to do it. So after 16, 17, I'm sitting with one of these guys. I have to drive all the way from where my families are. I left them, and I drove down 3 hours to meet with this individual. We sat there, and the first time we set eye on each other, and he just looked up, and he said, "My brother, it's so good to see you after 16 years or 17, and we hugged each other. Just the meeting, just that connection, something shifted. Yeah? So he's a very influential person in the government. So we sat down and we talked about our lives, how things going. And he said, "You know, sorry, I'm sorry, Joely. What if something I've said or done many, many years ago?" I said, "No, it's okay. We forget. I'm glad that we are here together." Yeah. Right after that meeting, I got in the car and drove back 3 hours to see my family. Halfway there, I came past a hotel resort. It's right on the highway. And I look around, and I thought I recognized the person waiting on the bus stand or the bus station. So is that? So I turn around again. I came back, and it's the second person that I have been trusting God to provide a way to meet. So I drove, I put down the window, he looked at me, he said, "Joely?" "Yes." And he just went down this way and started crying. So I opened the door, said, "Get in, can I give you a ride?" That was one of the most beautiful rides I've ever had. Just sitting and talking and just looking at each other. This, what was broken many, many years ago, has come together. Reconcile. It might be just coincidence, yeah? But this is part of holding on to our faith, that your faith and my faith, it means a lot to others. That your faith and my faith brings others to do and find the call of God in their lives. And that's what happened in these three meetings with these ex-con guys. And these two. Your faith is important. Our faith is important. Not only now, but for the next coming years, for your children and for our grandchildren. We are the one that set the pace. When I went back to my neighborhood, and I saw the brokenness of the people that lives there, especially the younger generation that I talked to. And I realized how this has been passed on from generation to generation. That the planting and the sowing of the parents and the dad in negative things, the children became the recipient of that fruit. Every day now they are writing to me, "How are you? How's things going?" We have the chaplain in the government. We're starting to pray together. Wonderful things happen. Your faith is important. My faith is important. If there's any encouragement today, I want to urge all of us to take heed of the word of God. For us, this may not be an issue. For others, this might be a struggle. Maybe you're in a season of your life right now that you're struggling in this area. It says here, let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast. Let us consider how we may encourage one another. Amen? Are we good at encouraging each other? Am I good? Are you good in encouraging one another? Maybe there's something that we can take on for this next semester, that we not only focus on the outside, but recognize the importance of our inward growth together as a church. Amen? That we consider that we always try to encourage one another. Somebody told me the other day, well, it's difficult because I don't know how to approach people. Say, just smile. Smile at someone. Just go, say, how are you doing? Let's encourage one another, not giving up meeting together. Encourage one another for the faith and the hope and the love. Hold on to your faith. Draw near to God and consider how you can be an encouragement to somebody else and not giving up meeting together. Amen? Very simple, but yet it works. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you. We want to thank you that you have brought us this far. Thank you for the journey. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for our family and our children and whatever walks of life they're in right now. We want to thank you for their lives. And we want to commit their lives into your hands. We want to thank you for speaking to us and reminding us again today. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.